Today's shir is Masechta Shavuos Daf Chavav. We will begin in Daf Chavav Amud Aleph from the top line. We learned in the Mishnah Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, very fundamental Machlokes about Shavuos Bitui. Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, as we know, is Ein Chayev Ela Asu Lavoi. Shavuos Bitui was only about the future, not about the past, whereas Rabbi Akiva holds that's also possible for the past. Tana Rabbanan. It says in the Pasuk, Lahara Lahatif. Ainli El Dvarm Shesh B'Marova Toiva. If I read the Pasuk literally, it would seem that Shavuos Bitui is only passable by issues that could be identified as good or bad. Shem B'Rah Toiva Menayin. How do we know when it's not specifically in those categories, it still could be a Shavuos Bitui? Tamaloyim, the Pasuk says, Ainnevish Ki Shishava Levat B'Sposayim. Ainli El Lahaba. How do we know that perhaps it's only regarding the future? L'sha'ava minayin, how do we know that it also applies to the past? Tamalaymer, the Pasuk adds the words, as we said in the Mishnah yesterday, L'chala shi'yavata ha'odam v'shvua, to teach us that Shavuos Bitui also applies to the past. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rishma Laymer, Rishma disagrees. He says L'har l'haytif means l'haba. It means the future. Amalai Rabbi Akiva, says Rabbi Akiva, if you are taking this pasuk that literally, and you're saying that the Torah, when it says lahara lahatif, speaks in the future tense. So if you're going to take the pasuk literally, says Rabbi Akiva to Rabbi Shmuel, so go one step further and say that only shvuas that have in them an aspect of good or bad are shvuas bitui. But shvuas that don't have those kind of aspects, minayin, are also considered a shvuas bitui. Amaloi, so Rabbi Shmuel replies, Meribu Yakosef, the fact that the Torah uses the words l'chala shivata adam shvuah is indicative that the Torah is not limiting shvuas bitui taro na tova. Amaloi, so Rabbi Kiva says to Rabbi Shmuel, if you hold im riba yakosef l'kach, that the Torah is marba, that it doesn't have to only be haro and atoiva, why don't we say, riba kosv l'kach, that only doesn't have to be necessarily only to the future, it could be to the past also. That is the braisa, says the Gemara, shapa kamalei Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva's point made to Rabbi Shmuel is a very valid point. How does Rabbi Shmuel defend himself? Om Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shmuel, sheshimis is Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. Rabbi Shmuel, who is a Talmud of Nechunya ben Akana, his approach to understanding Pesukim was in a Klal Prat way. Iunami, so to Rabbi Shmuel, when he learned Pesukim, learned it in a Klal Prat fashion. Whereas Rabbi Akiva, Shishimish is Nochem Ishgamzu, Rabbi Akiva was a Talmud of Nochem Ishgamzu, Shayyadarish is Kalatar Kula Bariba Miyat, that his approach to Pesukim was a Ribi Miyat Ribi approach. Iunami Darish Ribi Miyat. As we've explained, there are two different ways of looking at the same type of pasuk. When we have a situation, in our case is exactly that type of situation, as we're going to explain in a minute, where you first have a generalization, a pasuk that's pretty general. Then you have a pasuk that says a specific. And then the Torah says a pasuk that's more general. How do you look at that situation? It could be looked at as a klal prat to klal, could be looked at as a ribi miyat ribui. If it's looked at as a klal prat to klal, as those of us who say the brayser of Yishmael every morning know, klal prat to klal, you have to dan el kaina prat, which comes to significantly limit what is included. Whereas, if we learn it with a ribi miyat ribui approach, yes, there's a miyat that comes to exclude a situation, but it only excludes that situation, not anything that's similar to the miyut. So says the Gemara, the machlokes of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, as we're about to explain, evolves around that issue. Rabbi Shmuel's approach to these types of psukim was a klal prat klal approach, whereas Rabbi Akiva's approach is a ribi miyut ribi approach. And again, as the Mefarshim explained, it's throughout the Torah. In other words, all these types of situation, Rabbi Shmuel is going to look at it as a klal prat klal, and Rabbi Akiva is going to look at it as a ribi miyut ribui. And the Gemara explains itself. My Rabbi Akiva, the darish ribi miyut ribui. How does Rabbi Akiva learn this parasha as Rebbe Meir Ribui? The Tanya, as the pasuk says, "Oy nefesh kisishava." The Torah begins with the words "Oy nefesh kisishava" as a Rebbe. Lahara lahetif is a miyut. L'chol ashivata adam is a chaz of a Rebbe. Again, you have a Ribui. Rabbi Akiva, following his approach, Rebbe Meir Ribui is Rebbe Akol. It comes to Imarba, my Rebbe, Rebbe Komili. Shvius Pitu is applicable in all situations. Umamiyat, but we do have a miyat. And what is excluded, as we have learned and will continue learning, miyat dvar mitzvah. That a shvua on a dvar mitzvah doesn't apply. Rav Shmuel, who learns klal prat, how does he explain the pasuk? He learns, ay nefesh kishishava levata besvasayim is a klal, lahara lahetiv is a prat, l'chol ashivata adam is a chaz v'klal, and here we apply the rule, according to Bishmol, of klal prat to klal, yet to don elkein a prat, ma prat mefurish lahaba, the prat speaks about the future, af kol lahaba, the klal comes to speak about everything in the future. Now Rashi and Tosfos make a number of points. Rashi says that once we, including in this prat, will be that if somebody makes a shvua, which is a shvua shav, which we discussed and will discuss, refers to a situation where you said something patently impassable. I said this wood table is made out of gold. That's included. That's not a shvua spitui. Tosfos says, going back to what we learned in the previous year, included in this miut, into this prat, better said, according to Rabbi Shmuel, is that everybody we learned in the previous year agrees that a shvua, which cannot be formulated behein v'lav, in a positive and a negative, or a shvua, according to Shmuel, that can't be formulated l'habu l'sh'ovar, are not valid shvuas. In fact, Tosfos asks the obvious question, how can we push so much into one prat, all of these different halachas? So Tosfos answers, interestingly, Tosfos says, because we have all these various different possibilities, the halacha is when we have many different possibilities and there's no one limud that's more obvious than the rest, than the next, then all of the limudim are learned. And therefore, all of the halachas I just mentioned, according to Rabbi Shmuel, are excluded through this prat. Says the Gemara, ahani klala, but according to Rabbi Shmuel, since we do have a klal, so the cloud does accomplish something. What does it accomplish? The suyi, to teach us, a feel advarm sh'ein ban harova tava lahaba, that even if it's not specifically good or bad, but it is regarding the future, that's what the cloud is marba, that Rabbi Shmuel will hold, is still a valid shvua. What does the prat come to teach us? A hani prata, according to Rabbi Shmuel, comes to teach us, lemuti, to exclude, even if they have, they can be articulated as good or bad, but they're l'sh'ovar, they're excluded. Ask the Gemara, Epechana. What we have here is a very common question that the Gemara asks. We have a ribui and we have a miut. The Gemara is telling us that we're being marba anything to the future, not necessarily harova tova. What are we being mamat? Anything to the past. Maybe say punk fakert. Maybe just say the opposite. Maybe be marba anything to the past. Even be marba the past with harova tova. And not be marba the future, even though it doesn't have a rova tova. Who says to learn this way? Maybe the other way is a better way to learn. Epechano. Amr Yitzchak responds, Rabbi Yitzchak, Dumi de lahara lahetiv. The Torah compares it to lahara lahetiv. Mishi sura. What is the Isser? Mishum bal yachal dvoroi. Yotzuzu, shein isur mishum bal yachal dvoroi. Mara's question is, Ela mishum bal tashakru. Mara's answer is very simple. The Torah, when it speaks about shvuos pitui, a false shvuos pitui, uses the words la yachal dvoroi. You're not allowed to violate your words. So when we speak about what violating your words, that is only possible regarding a shvuos that I made that I will or won't do something. Because I will or won't do something, I make that shvua, and now when I don't do what I made, what I said I'm going to do, I'm violating, I'm profaning my word. When somebody makes a shvuah about the past, and it's a lie, it's not true, it's not layachal dvaray, it's a lie. And therefore, since, says Rabbi Yitzchak, the Torah uses the words regarding shvuah spitui of layachal dvaray, that's an indication that shvuah spitui refers to the future, not to the past. And that is why we prefer to explain Rabbi Shmuel that way, says Rabbi Yitzchak, that's speaking about the future, not the past. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avin Amar says a different raya. The pasuk says, Amakra, the pasuk says, O nefesh kisishova levate besusayim. The Torah, in introducing the parasha of Shavuos Pitui, says the word, nefesh kisishova levate besusayim. To teach us, mi sheshvu kedemes lebitui. When the Torah speaks about this, it's talking about I first make the shvuah, and then I violated the shvuah chas v'shalom. But by that's a shvuah lahaba. But a shvuah l'sha'avar is a situation where shabitui kedemes l'shvuah, where the bitui comes before the shvuah, where I first said something that is not true, and then I swear to it. That's yotzeh. So therefore, if I make a shvuah about the past, Shamaisa Kaidun Lashvua, that is the definition of a Shavuos Pitui. So I just explained the Gemara as Ritva explains the Gemara. That Ritva explains that the Pasuk is teaching us that a Shavuos Pitui is first the Shvua and then the violation of the Shvua versus first the lie and then the Shvua. Interestingly, the Ritva also goes on to say, here the Gemara is saying that we learned this halacha from L'chol HaShivat B'Shvua, that that's what Rabbi Shmuel's basis for. Before he said Rabbi Shmuel learns it from the Miut. So does he learn it from here or does he learn it from the Miut? So Ritva explains, this is Pshat in the Gemara. Rabbi Shmuel learned it from the Miut. But then the Gemara asked a legitimate question. How do you know to explain the Miut that way? This is just a proof that the way we learned the Miut is the proper way of learning the Miut. There's a very interesting vort from the Eretz Tzvi, Shaul Zechuvas Eretz Tzvi, the Kozel Gavarov, who was Yeshiva Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin after Rav Meir Shapiro. He was asked the following question. He was asked if somebody is obligated, Baruch Hashem, in our world it isn't that relevant, but in Europe it was more common. If somebody is summoned to court on Shabbos, a Jew is summoned to court on Shabbos and he's going to have to swear. I'm not going into the issue if he should or shouldn't swear. But he's going to have to swear. May he take a shvu on Shabbos? May a Jew take a shvu in court on Shabbos? Yom Tov. That was the question he was asked. So he learns this pasuk that our Gemara just quoted and the limud that our Gemara just learned to answer the question. He says that the Torah is teaching us that what is the definition of a shvuah spitui? You begin with a shvuah, which, as we have been learning from the beginning of the Masechta, represents that the person with his mouth, with his words, can elevate his words to a very high madrega, to be a shvuah. And then he, Chas v'Shalom, profanes it by making it into a bitui, by not fulfilling his shvuah. He says, what does that teach us? That a shvuah is a higher level of talk than a regular talk. He says on Shabbos, the Torah says, "V'dabedover shloi deburchus shel Shabbos k'deburchus shel Chol," to teach us that the words that we use on Shabbos can't be these different type of words; they only have to be Shabbos type words. And if our Gemara, he says, teaches us that a shvu is not your regular words, so those words can't be used on Shabbos, shloi deburchus shel Shabbos k'deburchus shel Chol, and therefore he says one may not take a shvu on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. The pasuk says, pasuk that we quoted a number of times in today's shir, L'chol ashiyavata ha'odom b'shvuah. So the Torah juxtaposes the words ha'odom b'shvuah to teach us pratal onus. That if a person is an onus and a shvuah, it's not considered a valid shvuah. What is the case of an onus and shvuah? So the Rishonim give many different examples. One example, which is going to become clear in the Gemara, is a situation where somebody, when he makes the shvuah, is convinced what he's saying is true. And then it turns out that what he said is not true. But he was convinced when he said it, it's true. That's called the shvuah sonos. We'll explain more in an example in a minute. Another example, two examples that Rishonim give, is let's say, and we know this halacha, that you can make a tenai to Yeshua. That if I did this or I didn't do this, this Shavuah should be valid. That's a tenai in the past. Or you can make a tenai into the future. That if I'll eat breakfast today, then I won't go to work. If I won't eat breakfast, I will go to work. Something like that. And then let's say you forgot that you, either in the past or in the future, when you violate your tenai, you didn't realize, you forgot that that tenai connects to a Shavuah. That everybody agrees is Shavuah's onus also. In fact, I saw that Rav Chaim Brisker uses this point that I just made to answer a question of Rav Kivega. Kivega asks a question, as I just said a moment ago, and as we all know, tanaim, conditions, stipulations, can be connected to Shavuos and Nedarim. Ask Rav Kivega why. We know all the halachas of tanaim we learn from Negarim Neiruvei. And one of the rules are that for a tanai to be a valid, it has to be a tanai, the isa b'shlichus. It has to be a tanai that that not only I can make the tanai, but you as a shlich could do it on my behalf. The darim and shvuas, you can't make a nether or shvuah for me. So if I ask to be kiveger, it's leisa b'shlichus. There is no rule of shlichus applicable to it. And therefore asks Rabbi Kiva Eger, why could there be tanoim in the Dharma Shavuos? Gevalda Gekasha. Rabbi Chaim Brisker answers, indeed Rabbi Kiva Eger is right. He says, but just as we just explained, that we said Shavuos Onus means with a condition applied to the Nedar Shavuah, I forgot about that condition, makes it into Shavuos Onus. So he says a Chiddush. He says, if the Torah, as we're learning now in the Gemara, is mechadish that a shvuas onus is not a valid shvuas. It's not a valid shvuah for which you can be considered that you over a shvuah. So he says, if so, and we said that means with a tanai, so obviously the Torah is teaching us that tanai work with the dharma shvuas. Because if tanai didn't work with the dharma shvuas, why would the Torah teach us that if you don't remember the tanai, you didn't violate your shvuah? It must be that the Torah is teaching us that as far as Nedarim and Shavuos are concerned, there's a new category of Tanoim that don't have all the rules that apply in all other Hilchos Tanoim, and therefore, even though the Leisa B'Shlichus, a Tanai can be made by Shavuos and Nedarim. The Rishonim debate, what will be the Halacha if somebody forgot his Shavuah? He made a Shavuah, and he forgot that he made the Shavuah when he violates it. Or, what would be the halacha if somebody doesn't realize that you're not allowed to lie? Is that considered a shvuas onus or not? That is a machloikis rishonim, if that's considered a shvuas onus or not. Another important point that the Pesach can make. You could only use shvuas onus is at the time you're making the shvuah, or the time the shvuah should be applicable, something is an onus. But to come and use it as an excuse later, you can't use it. I'll explain myself a little better. The Pais can discuss the following situation. Again, it's a little hard to talk about this issue. I'm just speaking about it to understand the sugya. In Europe, it was dangerous to be drafted to the army. And people would do things, for a Jewish person to go to the army was very dangerous. They would do things to get out of going to the army. One of the best ways of getting out of the army was getting as a job as a rav in a community. There were a lot of small communities in Europe. So somebody was drafted to go to the community and say, make me your rav. But they say, you know, if we make you your rabbi, we're going to have to pay you. We don't want to pay you. So he says, I swear to you that you won't have to pay. And then afterwards, he comes back and he says, I only swore because I was under duress. Is that called a shvuas onus? The Pesach can say, that's not called a shvuas onus. Because he knew the shvua he's making is a shvua. He wants to say that it was onus, that to use that as an excuse later, I'm also not going into the issue of Chilul Hashem, is not a valid issue of Shavuos onus. So back to the Gemara. Tanya Rabbanan, Har Adam Shavua Prat L'Onus. V'Nalem Prat L'Mezid. That a Mezid, there's no Chiyuv Karban Oil of a Yairud. Mimenu, Shiz Alma Mimenu Shavua. That he forgot the Shavua. And the Gemara is going to explain this at length in a moment. You only chayiv a carbon oil of a yoyre if you forgot the shvuah. then in the chayiv helm chayfetz. But if you got helm the chayfetz, which again, as I said, we're going to explain in a moment, there is no chiv carbon oil of yoret. Goes back to Gemara to analyze this price. Amamar ha'adam mishvur prat l'onus. An onus is not considered a shvur for which you chayiv carbon oil of yoret. Ask the Gemara hechidami, what exactly is the situation that the Gemara means as a shvus onus? As I said, we're going to see right now. Rav Kahana Rav Asi. Rav Kahana and Rav Asi were chavrusas in the yeshiva of Rav. Kevakayim and Mekamid Rav. So when they left Rav Shir, Mar Oma, and now they started arguing, what did the Rebbe, what did Rav say in the Shir? And Mar Oma, Shvuas Adachim Rav. He said, this is what I heard our Rebbe Rav say, and I swear this is exactly what I heard. Omar Amman, the other one, said, Shvuas Adachim Rav. No, that's not what he said. And I swear he said something just differently. Now, Kiosl Kameh the Rav. Now when Rav came, and they were able to ask him, what did you or didn't you say? Amik Echad Minayu. So he said one of them was right and one of them was wrong. Amalei Idach. So now the other one asked Rav, does it turn out that I swore falsely? Amalei, to which Rav would tell him, Libach Antzcha. It's not considered you swore falsely, it's considered Shavuos Onus. Rishayim debate, Taisus discusses this, and the Rishayim debate is this, when the Gemara says that it's a Shavuos Onus, the Rav told him, it's not a Shavuos Shoyg, it's a Shavuos Onus, doesn't mean it's completely fine, or does it mean that it's not a shvur shogig? There is no chiv carbon oil of yoyu in the base of Mikdashtan, but it's certainly not the right thing to do to make shvuas when it may be that you're saying something false. So we learned in the Bryson, the Gemara goes back to it, v'nel memenu, shenis'al memenu shvur, that if you got the shvur, yochol, shenis'al memenu chayfet, that too should be a shvur for which there's a chiv carbon oil of yoyu. Tamaloyma b'shvur v'nelem menu. Alhelm shvur chayiv v'ena chayiv alchayim chayfetz. Says the Gemara. Machkola b'merova. And at Israel they didn't understand this. Bishlam shvur b'shkach slablo chayfetz. How can we have nelem shvur without a chayfetz? Very simple. K'goyim d'om a shvur shloi oichel paschitin. But somebody made a shvur that he won't eat wheat bread. V'kesover sh'oichel kamar. And then he gets confused. And he thinks that actually his shvur was that I will eat wheat bread. The shvur se'inshe, he forgot his shvur. He got all confused. He made a shvur not to, and now he thinks he made a shvur that he will eat bread. The shvur se'inshe, he forgot his shvur, chef tzedocher. But he remembers what the shvur was all about, what chayfetz. Ela chayfetz b'loi shvur, but hey chidami, again ask the Gemara, how could it be that you forgot the chayfetz without the shvur? Says the Gemara, kigoy, a case where a person made a shvur that he won't eat wheat bread, the kesover, and he puts his hand into the bread basket, takes out a roll, and he thinks that the roll, the piece of bread that he took out was shel soirim, was barley bread. The kesover, and he thinks that his shvur was about, I'm sorry, he thought that his shvur was about barley bread when actually it was wheat bread that he meant. The shvuas adachalei, he remembers the shvur, it's cheftzinshi, he got confused about what he spoke about. Ask the Gemara, Kim the Chefze in Shiluhu, if he forgot what he made the Shvur about, so that's Hein Helm Shvur. So how's the Gemara defining that as Helm Chayfetz? Says the Gemara, correct. El Amar Belazar, Davida Achasi. And the way most Rishonim, and that's what we're going to learn the Gemara, Rabbi Lazar is of the opinion, that's what Rashi learns, that indeed, there is no situation of Helm Chayfetz. We can't find such a situation. The Ritva, again, I'm just going to quote his opinion. We're not going to learn the Gemara with his opinion. It says like this. What Rav Elazar means to say is like this. If there's only Helm Shvur, so Yechayev Karbon Oil of Yoyrid, if there's Helm Shvur coupled with Helm Chayfetz, yes, you have a Helm Shvur, because we can't find a case of Helm Chayfetz alone. But if you have Helm Shvur and Helm Chayfetz, you won't be Chayev Karbon Oil of Yoyrid. That's what Rav Elazar is teaching us. But that's not the way we're going to learn. Maskel Rav Yosef, Alma, you're making a statement, says Rav Yosef to Rav Elazar. The Chayfetz b'loi shvur le'mishkachas law, that it's impossible to find a scenario of Helm Chayfetz without Helm Shvur v'mishkachas law. He says, I'll show you such a situation. Such a situation, going to Omer, shvur shloichel paschitin, where somebody made a shvur that he won't eat wheat bread, He put his hands into the bread basket to take out barley bread, because that's permitted. And he accidentally, or he took, not accidentally, he took out wheat bread, but he got confused with, and he thinks that it's barley bread, and therefore, since he thinks it's barley bread, he very much remembers the shvua. It's only about the chefetz where he's confused. Why are you calling this a helam chayfitz? Klum b'chayfitz lekarbon. On what basis do you want to say that he violated the shvua? Am I the tavus biyade? Because he took the wrong thing, and he doesn't realize that what he took creates a helam shvua. So it's still a helam shvua. Lishna chrina, and as the Rishonim point out, the Lishna chrina is not really saying anything different than the previous lashon, up to the point that I saw some Rishonim that delete the Lishna Chrina from the Gemara, because they say a Lishna Chrina is only included in the Gemara when the Lishna Chrina teaches us something different. This is just a repetition, just with different words. Amar Abayel Rabbi Yosef, soif soif, carbon to kamaisi. At the end of the day, why is he bringing a carbon? Allah the high pass. Because he took the wrong bread. He ate the wrong bread. Isn't that a case of Helm Shvur? So why is Rabbi Yosef calling it Helm Chayfetz? Rabbi Yosef, Amalach, how does Rabbi Yosef defend himself? Kivan, since the chiyadalei dechitenhu, were he to become aware that the bread is a wheat bread, parshmenei, he would have stayed away, helm chevetzu. Even though there is certainly an element of helm shvua, but the bottom line is that were he aware that he has the wrong bread in his hand, that would have been enough for him to stop eating. That's why it's called a helm chevetz. The next Gemara is very similar to Gemara that we had in Daf Yotes. It's even actually worthwhile, I believe, to quickly review that Gemara. We learned in Daf Yotes Rav Elazar's opinion. Rav Elazar's opinion, going back to the sugyas of Tumah, says that you only chayv a carbon oil of yared if you forgot the Tumah. But let's say you remember your Tumah, but you didn't realize that the food that's in front of you is Kodesh. You didn't realize that the place you're entering is the Beis HaMikdash. There the halach is, we learned that according to Rav Elazar, not everybody agrees with this, you won't be chayv carbon oil of yared. So we learned in our Gemara there a question. And what happens if you have both? You have a helm tumah and a helm migdash. So how do we look at that scenario? Barmine Rav and Rav Nachman. Helm zevzeh biyodimahu. In our case, according to Rav Yosef, that distinguishes between helm shvur, which is chayv carbon oil of yared, and helm chayfetz, where there is no chayv carbon oil of yared. And here you have both. What is the din? Amalei, harei helm shvur biyodai v'chayiv. So in response, you have a helm shvur and yechayiv. So the Rishonim explain, what does Rav Nachman mean to say? What Rav Nachman means to say is that a helm chayfitz is not enough to be mechayiv a carbon. A helm shvur is enough to be mechayiv a carbon. And here you have a helm shvur, so it should be chayiv a carbon. So they argued back to Rav Nachman, this is the lumdish way of learning the Gemara. Harei helm chayfetz biyodai. Who says you're learning right pshat? Maybe the way to understand helm chayfetz is the helm chayfetz is a ptur. And whenever you have that helm chayfetz, you cannot be chayv carbon, even if you also have helm shvur. So therefore, how do we deal with the situation? Omer of Ashi, chazinen. We have to analyze. What is what caused you to stop? Imach meshvur kaparish. If the person remembered, oi, I'm violating my shvur, harei helm shvur biyodai, and therefore he'll be chayv a carbon. Imach mischayfetz kaparish, or whatever makes him stop is the helm chayfetz, harei helm chayfetz biyodai, so it's a situation of helm chayfetz, and therefore you won't bring a carbon oil of yod. And again, this is the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Tosfos, as we learned back on Daf Yotes, is dissatisfied with this approach, because it turns out it matters what you remembered first, what you remembered second. That doesn't make any sense. So therefore, Tosfos learned, as we learned, a different pshat. We ask him to tell us what's really what caused you to stop. Was it the shvur? Was it the chayfetz? Whatever the person tells us, that's what we'll accept. That's how Tosfos learned. Another pshat that we learned is that we just tell the person, stop. We don't say more. Stop. And then we see why, and then we ask them, why did you stop? Amalei Ravina Ravashi, says Ravina Ravashi, even according to the way you're explaining, These two issues of Helm Shvuah and Helm Chayfetz are so linked together. Klum Parash Mishvuah and Mishim Chayfetz. And Klum Parash Mishvuah and Mishim Shvuah. So how could you separate? And therefore he says, Loishna. It doesn't make a difference why he stopped. And it doesn't make a difference what we said first, and like Rashi said. All of it is immaterial. We have a situation of Helm Shvuah and Helm Chayfetz, and we will never be able to really know. We will really never be able to know what was what stopped him. And Helm Shvuah, as we've been learning, brings with it Chiv Karbon Ayil V'Yoyred. Helm Chayfetz does not bring Karbon Ayil V'Yoyred. We don't know what to do. Kachim, to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash, when you're not allowed to bring the carbon, when you're not supposed to bring the carbon, it's Aser, and we don't bring the carbon. Continues the Gemara. Bar Minei Rav and Rav Nachman. He asks him the following question. Eizu Shigiga Shvuah Spitul. The Braisa says, what is considered a Shigiga Spitul Shavar? Let's think about it, he asks. Idiyada, if he knows that he's lying, so that's not a Shigig. That's amazing. And as the Mefarshim explained, this Gemara's question is going according to Rabbi Akiva, who we said at the beginning of the Shir, holds that a Shvuah Spitu is passable even b'shavar. And a carbon oil of a Yairid is only b'shagig. So give me a case of b'shagig. So the Rishonim ask, didn't we say before, it's a machloikis, if somebody doesn't know that you're not allowed to lie, if it's a shagig, a Shvuah Oynus, a Shvuah Shagig, so why don't we just say that's referring to that case? So according to the Rishonim, let's say that that's a Shvuah Oynus. It's very geschmack to Gemara's question. Because that's a Shvuah Oynus, and we're looking for a Shvuah Shagig. But even according to the Rishonim, the opinion of the Rambam and the Rashbam, that that's called a Shvuah Shagig, the Gemara is trying to find, is there another case of a Shvuah Shagig? Because says the Gemara, E the Yada, if he knows that he's lying, mezerhu. Either layada, if he thinks he's saying the truth, then he's an honest. So what is a shvuah shagig l'shavar? Amalei, so he responded, boimer. It refers to a situation, yedea nisha shvuah zu asura. I'm well aware that this shvuah is asur. Avil any yedea, I'm just not aware, im chayavim carbon aloy. I didn't realize that it's a chiv carbon or not. That's the shkaga here. That he doesn't know that for making a Shvuah Shagig, there's a Chiyuv carbon, and that's why it's considered a Shagig. Command. So whose opinion is this? Tomar. It follows the opinion of Mumbus that we have throughout Shas, this Shaila, and Mumbus is of the opinion that Shigig is carbon, that not realizing that this situation carries with it a Chiyuv carbon, Shmashkaga, which as Tosfos explains, carries with it a problem. Because who's the man, the Omer, throughout Shas, that disagrees with Mumbus, and holds that Shigigas carbon is not a Shagig? Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva is that very mandam I said a minute ago, that we're trying to say it has a Shvuah Spitul L'Shavar. So how can we explain that what is the case of Shvuah Spitul L'Shavar? Shigigas carbon, Rabbi Akiva doesn't agree that Shigigas carbon is a Shagig. Answers the Gemara, I feel Tem Rabbanim. Even Rabbi Akiva, who holds throughout Shas that Shigigas carbon is not a Shagig, here will agree it's a Shagig. Why? Because at Kamloi Pligi Rabbanan lay the Mumbas, we did Rabbanan argue if Shigigas carbon is a Shagig, El Bechal Torah Kula. In all cases of the Torah, the Laf Chiddushu, where there is no Chiddush involved in saying that there's a carbon. Why? Because throughout the Torah, as we're going to learn in Tzashem, in Mesech decreases, the halacha is, if somebody does that very b'mezid, without edim, he's chayiv karis. If he did it b'shagi, he's chayiv a carbon. Avol hocha, case of shvuah pitui is a chiddush. It's a chiddush. The v'chol atayr kulon, there is no other situation. Like ashkan lav, there is no case where somebody does a lav b'shagi, the massive carbon, that if you did it b'mezid, you wouldn't get karis, and still b'shagi, you bring a carbon. This is the only situation. Because everywhere else, Yapinim Avodah Zorah, with a chi of karis and the chi of carbon travel together. V'hacha, v'hir, maisi, you bring a carbon, even if you don't bring, you're not chi of karis. So we see that this is a very unique situation, that there's a chi of carbon even without a chi of karis. So where, and this again the way that we should explain the Gemara, where did Rabbanan hold that Shigigas carbon is not a Shigig, but is a Chiyuv Karis? Why? So say to Rishonim, because the fact that he does or doesn't know about the carbon is immaterial. The fact that he doesn't know that this carries with it a Chiyuv Karis is enough. But here you can't say that he did or didn't know about a Karis. You know why? Because there is no Karis. So just not knowing that the carbon, everybody will agree is a Shigig, and that's the case of Shigig here, that he didn't realize that it carries with it a Chiyuv carbon. That's the case of Shuas Shigig Lishovar. If somebody by accident made a Shvua about the past, not true, but didn't know that it carries with it a Chiyuv carbon, that's where you're gonna, that's called Shigig Shigig. Bamine Ravina Mirova. So he asked the following question. Nishbar al Kikar. If somebody makes a Shvua about a loaf of bread, umistaknala, and then it turns out that by eating that loaf of bread, it's pikuach nefesh. Mahu. What's the halacha? He made a shvua he won't eat bread, and now he must eat it. It's a konas nefashos. So he said, mistaken? Lishuleimar. If it's mistaken, there's no shayla. It's a konas nefashos. It's mutter. A very interesting tshuva that I saw from the Mir Yosha, Remeya Arik. He says a chiddush. He says, we know throughout halacha, the halacha is hakala kal tchila. The best example, Yom Kippur, if somebody has to chas v'shalom eat, so we try to give them small portions. Shabbos, if we have to be mechal Shabbos, we try to do it in the least problematic way, the least chil Shabbos way. So if you and I were thinking about this Gemara, but somebody made a shvua, they should not allow to eat bread. And now the doctor says, you must eat bread, it's a konas nefashos. So what should he do? If you asked me, I would say, go to the rabbi, be matan neder, be matan the shvua. Says the Mir Yosha, that's not what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying that you don't have to go to Ataras Nadarim. It's Akonis Nefashis, the Shvu is irrelevant. No Ataras Nadarim required. So that's not the question. Ella, the question is, Mitztarv Ochla, the Shigiga Shvua. Mechlek Srashin Taisa Tadal in the Gemara. The person is desperate to eat bread. It's not a Shal of Akonis Nefashis. He's desperate to eat bread. This is the way Rashi explains the Gemara. And because he's desperate to eat bread, but then he taka forgot the shvua. Then what's the halacha? Mistaken v'ochel b'shigig shvua. Mai, is that considered a situation shagig? That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos learns that that's not pshat. If at the end he forgot. So Tosfos learns pshat in the Gemara is like this. The person says Tosfos, you know, we could play tricks with our mind. I start thinking that much that I want to forget something, I taka forget it. So I caused myself to forget it. What is that considered? Amalei, so he responded to Nina. We learned in a braisa, shav mi diyosai. It's only a person who, were he aware that he was doing the wrong thing, that's the person that may be carbon, al shigigosai, if he did in a very big shagig. Lo shav mi diyosai, and maybe carbon al shigigosai. Which means, again, according to Rashi. Here, let's talk about this person. This person is desperate to eat bread. He made a shvu not to eat bread, and now he becomes desperate to eat bread. But he's honest. He says, you know what? He taka forgot. But he's honest enough to tell us, it doesn't make a difference. Even if I wouldn't have forgotten, I would have eaten the bread. So that person doesn't bring a carbon. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. Taisus, again, very similar. Says that the person caused himself to forget, and therefore he's honest with us and telling us, since I caused the forgetfulness, that's not called that I shab mi diyosai, and that's why he brings the carbon. Continues the Gemara. Amishmul, gomer belibay. Even though a person made a decision in his heart that he wants to make the following shvu, the following nether, tzorach shiyotzi b'sfosov. He has to articulate the shvu and nether for it to be considered a shvua. Shenema, levata b'sfasayim. You have to articulate it. I saw another pshat. The pasuk says, we know Yaakov Vinu made a neder. The pasuk says, v'yido Yaakov neder lemar. It's a neder if lemar, only if you articulate it. Meisvei, it says in a braisa, b'sfasayim, v'loy belev. A neder is only a neder if you articulated it, not if it's only in your heart. continues the Braisa. Gam beliba menayim. How do we know that if you just made up, it's enough? Tamaloima b'chala shivata adam shvua. Ask the Gemara, I don't understand this Braisa. Hagufa kasha. The Braisa is self-contradictory. Amrit, first the Braisa begins the word, with the halacha, that was for sayim v'loibalev. For shvua to be a shvua, you have to articulate it. V'hada amrit, and the very same Braisa says, gam beliba menayim. That's just enough that you thought about it, and it's already considered as shvua. Amr of Sheshes, holy kasha. That isn't the kasha. Hachikama. Bisfasayim, if you articulated, v'loi shugam v'libay bisfasav, not a situation where you thought you're going to say it, v'loi hazitzi, but you never said it. Gam v'libay stam minayin. How do we know that in a situation that if you just made up to make a shvua, it's enough? Tamaloimer v'chala shiyavatim. So in other words, what the Gemara is saying is like this. If you made up that you're going to only make a shvua when you articulate it, it's not a shvua until you articulate it. But if you didn't make up that it should be a shvua until you articulate it, then it's a shvua as soon as you thought about it. El l'shmul. That's how we explain the braisa. El l'shmul kasha. And as Taisa says, why don't we explain Shmuel as we explain the Braisa? So Taisus has a very nice thought. Taisus says you can't compare a Tana to an Amira. A Tana is very, very concise. And we have to learn Pshat in a Tana. Shmuel is an Amira. If that's what Shmuel meant, he should have said so. Amr Shesis, Tritzvei Mahachi. This is the way to understand Shmuel's opinion. Bisvasayim, you have to articulate it. V'loi shugam b'libay lahaytzi. Paschit, lahoitzi paschitin, lahoitzi pas sairim. Not, if so, lahoitzi shgom b'libay. Not enough that you just thought about it. And therefore, lahoitzi paschitin, if somebody intended to say wheat bread, lahoitzi pas sairim, and he accidentally said barley bread, the entire shvua falls away. However, if gom b'libay, in other words, again, if he had intention to say wheat bread, and he said something else, he said barley bread, the entire shvua collapses. However, if gam b'libay lahoitzi paschitin, if he intended to say wheat bread, v'hoitzi pastam, and then he just said pastam without saying any type, minayin, tamalam b'chol shivata adam, it's a valid shvua. Meitzvei, ask the Gemara, how could we say it's a valid shvua? Meitzi tzosech v'tishma v'sisa. Eini elishoy tzibesfosov. From here we see that you have to articulate the shvua. Gam b'libay menayin, that it's a valid shvua. Tam alayim kol nediv lev. It's enough that you thought about it. Answers the Gemara. Shani hosam, regarding the donation of the Mishkan, it says kol nediv lev. Ask the Gemara, the nigma mina. Why don't we learn from there that just thinking about a shvua is enough? Answers the Gemara. Mishum dav trum v'kotchim shnei ketsuvim habayim kechot. Here we see that thinking is enough by the truma de base of Mikdash. V'kotchim, the same then applies. Mental designation is adequate. The kol shnei ketsuvim habayim kechot ein melamdim. You can't use it as a source for anywhere else, as I always explain. Because if it could be a source, what do I have to have two psukim? One is enough. Ask the Gemara, nich lamandama ein melamdim. El lamandama melamdim, Michael Amemer, why should we learn from there that just thinking is enough? Answer the Gemara, have a chulim v'kotchim, v'chulim v'kotchim agamrinim. This is kotchim. Kotchim, there's a halacha. That by kotchim, there's a halacha that you don't have to articulate it, not by chulim. Just quickly to say, I think I've said this previously, the Ramah quotes two opinions. What's the din by tzedakah? If just thinking that you're going to give a donation to tzedakah, what is the din? One opinion is that tzedakah is like kachim, and just mental designation is enough. The other opinion is that it's not. You have to articulate it. The machloikis of the two opinions is, do we compare tzedakah to kachim? And the psak of the Ramah is that just thinking about it is enough. So if you intend to give tzedakah, but you never articulate it, according to Ramah, it's already considered a neder.